Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, UK Health Radio, and Populate, electronic medical records, doing something about Dr. Burnout. A quickie note, the website's finally back up, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Check it out, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Got a great doubleheader. A couple of my fave guests are back. Rich Dubin, he's a longtime publisher of LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, celebrating their 15th year anniversary. He's the creator of the LER Virtual Expos for doctors around the country. He's returning along with Gary Reinel, the trainer of champions, both pros, Olympians. He's the author of Iced, the Illusionary Treatment Option, and the Sports Doctor's In with some Dr. Bob wisdom, your emails. Hey, Rich Dubin, sir, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here, my friend.
Yes, give us some background, Rich, on your long history in the magazine world. And catch us up, maybe with 15 years of Lower Extremity Review.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, I, as you know, I've been in the lower extremity world for about 35 years. In 2009, I started Lower Extremity Review Magazine to serve a multidisciplinary audience, including podiatrists, physical therapists, orthopedists, orthotists, prosthetists, podorthists, athletic trainers, physical therapists, chiropractors. I mean, we hit it all. If they're interested in lower extremity content, we have it, evidence-based content for them on the website, lermagazine.com. I launched in 2019. I had a vision of a virtual world, if you will, and we launched lerexpo.com. This is where we have online education for clinicians to receive credit. So from the comfort of their home, you can jump on. As you know, Bob, you've been on a few of them.
Yeah, boy, and, did that come at a time that was so crucial with the pandemic, Rich, the inability of anybody to do anything with people in attendance. And you were ahead of the game in that regard. What a service making something virtually possible for so many professionals.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I'll tell you, one of the great things is, you know, we learned is it's all about engagement, right? It's about making an online event fun and engaging. So how do we do that? We do that through top quality content and speakers. We do that through the different tools within the platform. It's almost as though you're walking into a building and clicking into a room and experiencing that speaker as if you're in person. And so our ratings have just been off the roof, 4.94 on a recent event, 4.92 on another one recently. We've educated close to 15,000 clinicians in various specialties since we started.
Oh, yes. Now, like on the 19 times you've been on the Sports Doctor, who knows how many times it's been over the years, we have always made a big deal out of the fact that LER, Lower Extremity Review, was a key player in bringing together the professions in the evidence-based world of biomechanics. Of course, as a sports podiatrist, the tremendous importance of the role of the foot in all sports, at all levels, et cetera, but the comfortable bringing together of a lot of these competing professions, whether it was the orthopedist and podiatry, whether it was general medicine, chiropractic, whether it was physical therapy, athletic trainers, and it became a common ground where comfortably information could be shared. I've been honored to write, I don't know how many articles for you guys.
As many times as I've been on the show.
Right. And you know, the importance, again, of being able to have the cooperation, including Eastern and Western medicine, holistic approaches, the tremendous combination importance of nutrition, all of these things that you guys have included, of course, with your great editor, frequent guest of mine also, you know, Janice Raddick, who's really been a godsend for you guys.
Absolutely. You know, I always had this vision of bringing together multiple disciplines under one umbrella. And we started it way back when, in 1994, with biomechanics. That was sort of our
famous magazine, my friend.
Famous.
Yes.
Well, I was obviously on that, the founding father, so to speak, founding fathers of that magazine. And, you know, that was the first time it had ever been done. And then in 2009, I broke away from corporate and went on my own and really went back to our roots, which was biomechanics, right? Conservative care, bringing together.
Well, it starts on the ground, my friend. You went back to your roots.
That's exactly right.
That's what's in your shoes. Yes.
That's right. And so, you know, one of the things that has sort of propelled us to this leadership position in the market is the fact that we've gotten all these different clinicians to collaborate on articles, to review one another's articles. So now you're getting an orthopedist perspective on a podiatry article. We're getting a podiatrist perspective on a physical therapy article. So you're really getting the meat and potatoes of what's to be offered in clinical care.
Well, plus, Rich, you know, you make a big deal out of evidence-based stuff. You know,
right.
There's so much stuff on the internet, online, that people can go crazy trying to get proper information. We're deluged. If we don't have every 2 seconds a drug commercial on television, we have a diet commercial. So
that's
we're just
right.
buried in all of this information. So the evidence-based side of what you could count on, that was always a big deal to you and LER, isn't it?
Well, it has to be, right? Because at the end of the day, when you have clinicians writing for clinicians and you're claiming to be the leader and working with the KOLs, then you better have your I's dotted and T's crossed, right? Because they're going to see through opinion. And we're not looking for opinion. There's plenty of opinion on the internet. And as you say, you know, most people will share, search, clinicians will search, consumers will search. They don't even know where they're going. So we become a destination because of that evidence-based content for not only clinicians, but also for consumers to get some credible information. And we've had columns, as you know, Bob, on patient perspective. You know, patient perspective recovering from a bunionectomy. What a great article for consumers to read who are considering that procedure.
Well, the mental game is a big deal.
From a patient perspective.
Yes, the mental game, as I call it on the sports doctor, whether I have sports psychologists on, psychiatrists, mental trainers, you know, one of the chief contributors to my book, hashtag Sports Parents, Robert Andrews, the mental trainer with the Simone Biles, all those gymnasts and the Olympians. And his specialty now is the mental side of post-surgery, coming back from some of these athletic injuries. So the perspective of getting, again, the patient's feedback, getting the perspective of what it takes as a team approach regarding all of these types of recovery factors becomes a really important topic, and it includes the public. You know, in our big world of youth sports, which is such a big deal on the sports doctor, you participated in that in so many respects, MVP Magazine. You're a sports dad. Were you overzealous still as a sports dad, Rich? I'm just asking you.
What was that, Bob? Was I what as a sports dad?
Were you overzealous?
Oh, was I overzealous? Very much so. You know, it's funny, I have four children. So with my first one, my oldest, he wanted me to stop coaching him at about fifth grade. And then my next children, it was even earlier. So I think there comes a point where as a parent, you have to understand your role. And a lot of times our role is really just to be a parent. And to be a parent means to encourage your child, to support them, to love them.
These are the key points.
Yeah. I've learned this though, Bob. I didn't have this, you know, when my oldest was five and he was playing, you know, basketball at the YMCA and I'm over there screaming, yelling like a lunatic.
Yes. This is why the education has become such a big deal. And is one of the things that we paid such attention to over the decades. One of my late great colleagues on the radio world, the late Jim Vickery, sports psychologist, number one from him for sports parents was, don't be a critic. So the education side of the gigantic world, the business of youth sports, getting information out there, you know, the public really needs to get as much as they can. Rich, what's the site of LER, the website?
LER is lermagazine.com, and LER stands for Lower Extremity Review. So what we consider to be the lower extremities, everything from the hip down. We do sort of sometimes venture into the low back because obviously, you know, as you know, right, everything is connected. We're talking the full kinetic chain, but we primarily focus everything from the hip down.
And again, sometimes we talk about it all the time on the Sports Doctor, my Pearl of the Week. Any persistent, chronic, recurring lower extremity problem is foot-related. It might not be foot-caused, but it's foot-related, whether that individual has flat feet or high arches or bow legs or a leg length difference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, being able to educate the public, especially when we're talking about, you know, some of those challenges. There was a great story. LeBron James was in the stands when his son, Ronnie, was a young kid, and he was in the stands rooting him on with his mother, with LeBron's mother. And she finally said to him, would you sit down already?
Exactly.
He said it was one of the first lessons, you know, that he learned, you know, regarding, you know, all of these different sides of things regarding the prevention of injuries, prevention of problems, and the idea, again, of enhancing performance were indicated. And you have an awful lot of general medicine, diabetes, other kinds of situations that you guys talk about in lower extremity review, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we cover everything from neuropathy to, you know, the diabetic foot to wound care, sports medicine, biomechanics. We've actually, you know, even begun venturing a little bit into the surgical realm with this, you know, with this movement toward minimally invasive surgery and, you know, getting patients on their feet ambulating.
Yes. Well, the rehab side of that. Yes, I was arguing about that for decades, which was the rehab side was being neglected. The foot surgery was being done, and all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't a insistence on including physical therapy and personal training and follow-up regarding, you know, recovery. And I think that's something that you guys have really, really added, you know, to the mix, that important situation that if surgery is necessary, the follow-up and the recovery time, you know, it's funny, rest and recovery is still one of the biggest areas of all aspects of sports medicine, Rich, isn't it?
No question about it. And a lot of the times why patients get re-injured is because they're non-compliant. They don't rest. They don't wear the brace. They don't wear the orthosis. They're, you know, they think they can do what they want to do when they want to do it, and then they wonder why they don't recover and why they're re-injuring themselves. So there's a lot of that going on. I mean, patient compliance is one of the biggest issues you face as a clinician.
Yes. And, you know, prehab, the idea of enhancing performance regarding prevention and the physical and mental side, again, we make such a big deal in the book. I call it the prodigy sports, where we have specialization very, very early. But we want these athletes, at whatever their level, to include foot and ankle strengthening, always, at whatever level, and also to include balance work, balance training. You know, fall prevention has become prevention has become such a big topic. You guys were very early paying attention to that, I felt.
We were. I mean, we've been writing about falls prevention now for probably close to 10 years. And only until the last, you know, 4 or 5 years has it really, really begun to have this movement behind it, right? A lot of talk around, you know, how to prevent falls and the cost of falls, the cost of injury. As a matter of fact, my mom, who, by the way, I don't know if you know, she passed away June 15th.
Oh,
I found her on the floor. I was visiting her in Florida. I was going to pick her up for dinner, and she was on the floor with a broken pelvis and a broken shoulder.
Wow.
I mean, wow. Horrible. And she was healthy. Yes. She wasn't even unhealthy. I mean, you know, it's a very, very serious.
Yeah, one of the biggest groups in the country in the world of physical therapy, physical therapy. The name of the group is physical therapy and balance centers. So they're starting my long time, late great Bob Guida, trainer of champions. My second guest today with you, Gary Reinold,
nice.
Worked with athletes of all types, made such a big, big deal out of balance work and balance training. I knew the time would fly by with Rich Dubin, the publisher of Low Extremity Review. I hope I got 15-year anniversary. Rich, give me the site again. People could find out about you and the expos and everything else.
Yeah, so we have several sites. They're all based off of the LER brand. So we have LER Magazine. That's our core site. We have LER Expo. That is our online event site. We actually just recently launched on-demand education called events.lerexpo.com. That's where all your events are, all our past events. You can log in, watch the recording, take the quiz, and obtain credits. We also still have, you know, it's still live, BobMCParent.com. We didn't talk about it on the show.
All right, Rich, hold on. Yes, Rich Dubin, Lower Extremity Review Magazine. Hold on, Rich. The sports doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doc live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Another one of our fave guests, Gary Reinel. He's a trainer of champions, professionals, Olympians over the years, and he is the author of ICE, the Illusionary Treatment Option, which turned the rehab world on its head X amount of years ago, and he is back with us. Gary Reinel, welcome back.
It's my pleasure to be back, Dr. Bob. Thanks for having me.
Gary, give us some background again on you, your illustrious career, and the ice bag on your shoulder.
Well, exactly what happened was I came back into the professional sports arena, and I tried to figure out a way to fit my technology into the existing protocol for injuries, which was the RICE protocol, rest, ice, compression, elevation. And after a few years of doing extensive research and interviews with lead trainers, doctors, and therapists all over the country, mostly with professional teams, I discovered that, or I understood that the RICE protocol was wrong. It actually traps the waste in and around the damaged site and prevents the natural flow of oxygen and supplies. And of course, ICE is the big part of that protocol that slows everything down. So I set out to unwind the most popular, most known protocol in Western medicine. And it turned out that the doctor who made up the protocol, Dr. Gabe Merkin, after he read my book, ICE, the Illusionary Treatment Option, he actually publicly recanted, then wrote the foreword to the second edition of my book.
You know, it was interesting, Gary, is I always felt my late great sports colleague, the great sports therapist like you, Bob Guida, who in the late 70s came out against stretching, especially done improperly. And the world came after him, man. And I always compared you in that regard when you started in with icing, the kind of feedback that you were going to get, even though both of you were right in so many different respects, again, which was, I talk about it in my book. I mentioned you and your work. Which is ice might numb something for pain, but after that, it doesn't help anything in the world of healing. This was the shocker that you discovered with all your research, wasn't it?
It is. And what I basically understood was it wasn't the best way to manage the problem. And the vast majority of people that I spoke with, and nearly 100%, by the way, agreed that it wasn't very effective. I was like, well, why are you doing it? And they did it because that's what everyone did. So I had a strategic plan that really fell into place because of the widespread use of the protocol. I started with people who realized it wasn't working. And then I worked my way through, and now I have hundreds of professional athletic teams and including minor leagues, and over 2,000 collegiate teams that listen to me.
Now, you come out of the world of electric muscle EMS systems and these different modalities to enhance healing, reduce inflammation, with some of those major products that you've used over the years in your treatment of athletes, correct?
I do. I work with when you're injured. There's a product called H-Waves. That is a spectacular product, been around for 43 years, has contracts with the NFL, with Major League Soccer, with most of the other professional athletic teams. And I say most because there may be a few that we don't have contracts with, but almost everybody we have contracts with. And then for over-the-counter, we have a product called Mark Pro. So if you're just tired and sore, there's a muscle stimulation device for that. And if, in fact, you're injured, well, there's a prescription product for that. That's the H-Wave.
And that's been well accepted, of course, by the therapeutic world, physical therapists, physiatry, et cetera, orthopedists, podiatry, regarding, you know, treatment and trying to enhance healing as best as possible. And the but as part of that, you know, again, the rest, ice, compression, elevation, which was, when did he first coin that, by the way, Gary?
my protocol for it called Arita?
No, Rice. When did Rice come 78. Back?
Okay. 1978 in Dr. Merkin's sports medicine book. And we all had the book. It was the green book with the white letters. I'm sure you have a copy of it also. And it's what everyone believed. It didn't matter that it wasn't right or tested. It's what everyone believed. And so people blindly followed it. And when you think about it, you simply roll it back a little bit and say, well, what happens when you rest, ice, compress, and elevate? Well, that literally traps the waste in and around the damaged site and prevents the natural flow of oxygen and supplies. And I've asked thousands of people in the field, clinicians in the field, do you think it's a good idea to trap the waste in and around the damaged site and prevent the natural flow of oxygen and supplies? No one has ever said yes. Of course it's not. So why are you doing it? Let's stop it. And that's what I set out to do. Stop the Rice protocol and getting the doctor who made it up to recant and write the foreword to my book, I think, was a giant step forward.
And maybe, again, doing some peripheral work around the injured area. I remember you would talk about if someone's got an ankle sprain, maybe they're going to move their toes. Maybe they're going to bend their knee to stimulate, again, that interaction of fluids and healing in, of fluids in and out of a damaged area. It's a real educational challenge in so many ways, you know, regarding some of these different differences. Once someone gets past the idea of that, maybe ice can help with pain, but then it doesn't. That's the major point, I think, was that, you mean it doesn't help with swelling? It traps these things in the tissue? This was really a kind of revolutionary thinking almost at the time, it seems. Did it surprise you?
The whole thing surprised me. All I was trying to do was figure out the best place to insert my technology in that protocol. I had no idea the protocol was wrong. I believed it like everybody else. I learned it. Rice is nice. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. Everyone knows that. Well, actually, when I realized that it was wrong, it wasn't the best way to do it, I stopped and said, well, how does the lymphatic system work? Because that's how the waste evacuates. And if you just read, I mean, you can go to Wikipedia and read how it works. You don't have to go in a clinical textbook. It's a passive system. When you activate the muscles around those vessels, it pushes the waste up a chamber. The empty chamber now has negative pressure, pulls the waste out of the interstitial space and so on. As a visual, it's like milking a cow backwards. That's it. That's how it works. So anything that's stationary, sitting still, would slow down lymphatic flow. Making it cold would slow it down more. Compressing it could all but stop it. That's called a tourniquet. So depending on how tight you make it. And elevating has nothing whatsoever to do with moving waste. It was so easy to take apart because it's an illusionary treatment option, hence the name of my book, Ice, the Illusionary Treatment Option. It's not real.
Now, what's your thoughts, even though I think it's a different perspective, but the world of cryotherapy or cold plunges, which you've got so much, you know, whether it's in the recovery area, the stimulating of activity area, although I don't know if it's apples and oranges, but what are your thoughts on those technologies?
Well, in my book, I mention them. They're not in the same category as treating.
Right.
Injury.
I think it's important, right? They are not the same category.
It's not the same category. However, the literature clearly states that if you go in an ice bath, following your workout, following your train, your stimulus, it will dampen both vascular and muscular adaptation, which was the reason you trained. So if you're doing it to facilitate recovery, it's not going to work. And if you're doing it for any reason that you believe it's a good one, like for discipline or whatever, well, then do it as far away from your last workout as you can. As one of my contacts has told me, one of my colleagues has told me, he said, do it an hour before you train. That way it's as far away from the last time you trained as you can. And you can Google it. It's a simple thing to find. It's right in the literature. It dampens muscular and vascular adaptation. And for anyone who isn't following what that means, that's the reason you train. You cause a stimulus to adapt to become better. Why would you want to dampen that? And in fact, the cryo people often will claim that using that technology, the ice bath and the cryo chambers, that that will reduce inflammation. Well, actually, you don't want to reduce inflammation. The inflammatory response is phase one of three phases of healing. It's inflammation, repair, remodel. Google it. You can't get effectively to point two and three until one takes place. You don't want to block inflammation. Inflammation's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, the whole world of anti-inflammatory everything, both in the medicines, in so many things. It's always been a nomenclature challenge when one of the realities was, of course, was that inflammation was one of the first stages of healing in any regard, in almost any respect. You know, yet you still see, you know, those pictures, you know, the guy after the game, he's got some ice on his shoulder or the ice on the knees after the basketball game. But again, as far as reducing discomfort initially, then that's workable with ice, isn't it?
Oh, I like
numb that pain. Throw some ice on my ankle. It's killing me.
Yeah, you know, I liken that to the sympathetic bartender to give the alcoholic a drink so he can temporarily feel better.
Yes.
Will solve the problem?
The guy's got a place. Yes. Well, if you understand its limitations, if you understand that it's limited, it's not part of the treatment, but it might be something for that first hour or two to try to reduce some pain.
What I recommend you do instead is find a neutral position and decongest the area in and around the damaged site. That will significantly reduce your pain, if not fully remove it. And if you want to prove that to yourself, next time you roll your ankle or whatever, hop on that hurt ankle. You'll find out that hurts. But if you lie on the ground and kind of find a way to put your ankle in the right place or on something soft, it stops hurting as much. So find a neutral position and decongest the area in and around the damaged site, and most of your pain will go away. And then if there's any left over, what you can do is electronically use electronic anesthesia, and you don't have the negative effects of ice. So there's a way to make it not hurt. The best way is to find a neutral position, decongest the area in and around the damaged site. If that doesn't settle the problem to your satisfaction, use electronic anesthesia. And all you do is you run an electrical signal through it, and you make it stop hurting.
And I know you make it a point because I quoted you in my book. I know you make it a very important point of when you're talking about find that neutral position. We're not talking about moving an area that hurts to move it. We're not talking about moving an area that's injured that would be painful. We're talking about stimulating around it that could be part of that process. I think it's important when you stress a particular situation. How has the athletic training world, the athletic trainers, physical therapists, probably the biggest group I would imagine that was challenged with some of these. When did the book come out, Gary? I'm trying to remember.
13 years ago.
I think we had you on the radio not that long after that.
You did. Right. Thank you. Yes. You helped spread the word.
I think, absolutely. I'm trying to remember. Holy cow, 13 years. I would have flunked that true-false question. The book, I'm sure, on Amazon and whatever. Do you have a website or whatever with some information?
I do. Website is GaryReinl.com. So it's GaryReinl.com. And if you type in the anti-Iceman, I'll pop up on the social media.
Absolutely. All right, hold on. We're going to come back another segment. We'll talk more about put some ice on that area. Gary Reinl, the trainer of champions. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we are back with Gary Rhino, who is the author of ICE, the Illusionary Treatment Option. What a great title I always thought that was, Gary. It really paints the picture, that whole challenge in that regard, and in, you know, some of these concepts that are so difficult to train. And how's the international community you've been involved with in the Olympic world? Are they ahead or behind us on your ideas with this?
Well, there are many countries in the world that don't use ICE on their athletes, or around anyone for that matter. So ICE is, it's kind of a, when you say it's a myth, as far as the benefits to it, and they say, oh, it goes back to, you know, to centuries ago. Really? Where did they get ICE from centuries ago? It doesn't go back centuries ago. This is a modern problem that started once there was ice available. When
That's
ice wasn't available,
huh?
who could have ice? Where'd you get it from? They tell me, well, the Greeks used ice. Where'd they get it from? How hot it is in Greece?
So how about if they were living on an ice glacier?
Most people didn't. Then they'd have access to chip off a piece. Yeah, but most people don't live on ice glaciers. The majority of the world's population does not live near ice. So the idea that this is some universal thing that's always been done is simply not true. It's a myth. The myth spread. People bought in. They go, oh, yeah, this is good. Put ice on it. What's it do? Oh, it prevents swelling. Well, how about if we look at it differently? How about if we say, is there too much fluid coming to the damaged site or is there too little leaving? Two entirely different responses, by the way. If there's too much coming, maybe you should try to block it. But if not enough is leaving, clearly you don't want to block the path. There's not enough leaving. That's what's wrong. There's not too much fluid coming.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've been on so many times where we've talked about the fact that regardless of the professions, whether, again, it's physical therapy, to any of the medical professions, it's all the sports medicine professions, as this explanation, as you're just giving it, is told, no one argues with it. It really is. It's like an aha. And I know that you talked about how you found that, you know, but once you presented some of these different facts and areas of research, it really became the kind of thing that was a big surprise to a lot of people. And there wasn't a lot of resistance, it seemed, from the experts once the explanations were discussed, was there? Or is there?
I have very little resistance. The vast majority that I speak to, people that I speak to, have come to me. I didn't go to them in the past 5 to 8 years. So, you know, the first half of my journey, yeah, there was a lot of pushing from both sides. But now I simply ask people, what are you trying to do? And they tell me, well, you know, want to help the guy heal. Okay, so how do you facilitate healing? What do you need to do? Well, tissue's got to mend. Okay, how does tissue mend? Well, basically, you know, if we get real simple, good stuff in and bad stuff out. Okay, so what's the best way to bring good stuff in and take bad stuff out? Well, I'm not saying the rice protocol's the best. I didn't bring up the rice protocol. You brought it up. What is the best way to bring in the good stuff and take out the bad? What's the best way to do that? Well, probably by activating the muscles, by loading the tissue. By the way, there's a great paper called Loading by Buckwater. And that's written in 1999, where all this stuff's explained completely. So anybody who wants to read it, you can read Buckwater's paper that you can find online. Just put in Buckwater Loading, and it'll come right up. Or you can read the paper I wrote, where I simplified his paper, and give him credit, of course, but I simplified his paper. My paper's called Healed. So if you Google Healed, Gary Rhino, or Rhino, it'll pop up. You can read my paper where I explained it. And then if you want to read more, you can go and read his. But in his paper, there's a great comment by Ledbetter. Ledbetter says there can be inflammation without healing, but never healing without inflammation. Well, that sure does put a damper in the blocking the inflammation phase of this. It's like, well, why are you trying to do that? And does ice make it block the inflammatory response? Well, the answer is no, it doesn't actually block it. It simply delays it. So once the tissue rewarms, the inflammatory response resumes, and you didn't stop anything from happening. All you did was slowed everything down. So it all becomes very simple if you're willing to be honest and just answer questions. And yes, don't argue about whether it's the best way, or don't argue about whether it works. That's not the argument. The argument is it the best way to solve the problem?
And then that way anybody... Yes, the world of nomenclatures, again, the whole world of anti-inflammatories. Now, if we relabel them tomorrow, anti-excessive inflammatories, then we might be able to find some sense in whatever those anti-inflammatories, the Advils, the Naproxens, all those medicines over the counter that are incredibly used and overused, especially in youth athletics, that it would make a lot more sense. Once we understand the way that like that you're explaining it, and that it makes it, you know, so much sense, and the idea of being able to enhance healing as best as possible, as well as reduce discomfort, and I would imagine that general medicine also in all areas has been paying big attention in advance this profound.
Well, I got a phone call from one of my really loyal guys, and he said, Gary, how's it feel? Because we had gone over the million people who had heard my message. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, now you're one. How do you feel? I said, one? I doubt that we have a full 1% of the population. We haven't won. Many doctors have done surgery this morning and then prescribed ice post-op.
Yes.
That's the norm. We haven't won.
Yes.
We barely banged on the door.
Yes. What's interesting is, again, whether we're talking about all of these different areas in sports, and sometimes the reality hits us. Give me the sites again, Gary. Find out about the book or the that other site you mentioned.
Well, GaryReinl.com, so G-A-R-Y. R-E-I-N-L.com. And the article is called Loading by Buckwalter. And on my website, I rewrote it. It's called Healed. So you can scroll down in my references and find Healed. Or you can simply put Healed in Google, Rhino, it'll pop right up.
Healed, H-E-A-L-E-D?
Yes.
All right, hold on, Gary. Time flew by with him. I knew it would. The anti-ice guy, Gary Rhino. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors in. Hold on, Gary. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is a well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value,
to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We had a little Dr. Bob wisdom. We might answer a few emails. As always, some exciting guests and topics coming up next week. Dr. Emilio Justo. This guy writes an awful lot besides a surgeon, but his areas of the super achiever, delayed gratification in and out of sports is some really exciting information when we talk about the mental game, as well as the guest following Jean Sevier. She talks, there aren't many families in and out of sports teams that aren't dealing with elders and the challenges with dementia, this whole, again, the mental side of things. So Jean is going to clue us in to brain health and some of these important aspects. Hope in the following week that my colleague, teammate on the National Fitness Hall of Fame, Greg Justice. Greg is the co-author of the of the book of Jack LaLanne's Legacy. As a matter of fact, there's a movie being made, but Greg is the guy, 60 years old. He's in the Ninja Warriors. He's going to be on TV coming up. So we're going to talk about the ninja and some of his training when he joins us in a couple of weeks. Hey, some Dr. Bob's wisdom. You know, we were talking in today's show in all areas of youth sports. And one of the things that I wanted to stress for the sports parents out there is I want to mentioned the late great colleague of mine, Dr. Jim Vickery, shared, 4 or 5 years on the radio with me in the early 90s. Jim was a performance enhancement consultant at the time when the word psychology scared athletes away in some way, shape, or form. And he just, we talk all the time about sports parents and some of these different responsibilities. And I just wanted to bring up what he stressed as a couple of really important points for all the sports parents listening.
Number one, don't be a critic. Think about it. Don't criticize your son or daughter's performance on the way home in the car or whatever. Rather, be a good listener. Be a good listener with how your son or daughter is doing with their teammates, the relationships, with their coach, for example. You know, are they hurting? Are they overdoing it? Are they pushing too much? Where's the pressure? So the 2 points he made a big deal out of for sports parents, again, was number one, don't be a critic. And number two, be a good listener. And he threw in number three. He said, enjoy the time. I could be absolutely agree with that. It flies by as a sports parent where all of a sudden it's over. So enjoy it when you're lucky enough to have it. I have a few emails here. Rich says, my 11-year-old son has been playing soccer since he's 5 or 6 years old. He has been diagnosed twice. They call it calcaneal lymphocytosis. You know, there's a large growth center, Rich, on the back bottom of the heel. It doesn't come together as a solid piece in boys to 14, 15, 16 years old, and it's commonly aggravated. If it's persistent, ongoing, I've had great success with orthotics. Great success. See podiatry, pay attention to orthotics. Many times the growth center, which can be aggravated by running and jumping, gets your son out of cleats. Put him in a multi-nub shoe that doesn't have cleats sitting right under the growth center. I'd like to get rid of cleats before adolescence, to tell you the truth. It's a tough sell. And then look seriously at orthotics. The great news is orthotics are fantastically successful in controlling the kind of motion, usually sheer motion, that re-aggravates the growth center. You know, maybe he's running and jumping, aggravates it, and then he keeps re-aggravating because of the shoes and the cleats. So pay attention to that. Grace says, I'm a 40-year-old runner. I've seen the chiropractic. And they talked about leg length discrepancy, if there's any difference. How key is the leg length differences? You know, Grace, differences in leg length is very, very common. If we took 10 people off the street, we'd probably see 7 of them. We could nitpick some slight difference, pelvic tilt, pelvic rotation, one foot collapsing more than another. Some of it's functional. We're not talking about an anatomical per se difference. And usually it's quiet, doesn't cause trouble. If we see that someone has a history of problems, you know, my knees always bother me in running, or my son's shin splints keep coming back, or, you know, I got this chronic back problems, then we start paying attention not only to the leg length, but to the biomechanics and the foot mechanics themselves. This is an area that really over the years I've had a lot of consultation with my chiropractic physicians regarding leg length in that regard. We're taping another segment for the Run With It TV show out of British Columbia with Christine Blanchette this coming week. And then again, some future excitement. I'll let you know, doing a New York City show teaming up Team Doc of the Yankees, Dr. Ahmad. I'll keep you abreast of that. Everybody, see you next week. Thanks to our friends at CBS, the Sports Doctor.